Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting. Good morning. 4 minutes past the hour. Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul Perreault, filling in for Peter Kapsner, who will be back on Thursday. Good to have you with me on this Cyber Monday. Yes, another big day of shopping. The estimates are probably about $7 billion will be spent today on top of the over $6 billion spent online alone on Thanksgiving or Black Friday. Let me say, I tell you, we were really buying up a lot. And it's interesting, though, as we look at the holiday weekend and the start of the shopping season, don't forget about tomorrow. And Ruth mentioned it at the end of her segment last hour. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. Boy, if we could just, as I mentioned, $7 billion likely spent today on top of the $6 billion spent during Black Friday online. And that doesn't include in-store sales. The amount of money transacted, what if even just 10% of that was released into the work of the kingdom tomorrow on Giving Tuesday? Whether you're giving to, Ruth was mentioning a lot of great missions agencies that really need the help. She talked about, the Slavic Gospel Association, their needs, the needs. Well, she has a lot of different ministries in different parts of the world that maybe you have a heart for. Why not give there? Or last week we talked with B.J. Thompson, who's the head of a ministry called Build a Better Us. He's African-American, and it's a minority-led ministry doing great things. Maybe you want to consider giving to a minority-led. And, of course, hey, don't forget, Faith Radio. We're also a nonprofit, but whatever. I mean, yes, I'm not saying don't buy stuff, but I'm also saying make sure you're also providing for the work of the Lord, and tomorrow would be a great day to seek out different ministries to start relationships with and giving to them. Well, it is 6 past the hour. Coming up in just a few moments, we have Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, so stay with us. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Minutes past the hour. Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul, filling in for Peter. And joining me now is the relationship doctor, Dr. Linda Mental. You can hear her weekends on Faith Radio with the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Or if you aren't able to listen during the weekends, it is podcasted too at myfaithradio.com. Hey, Linda, how was your Thanksgiving?
Well, it was good in some ways. It was a tough one for me because the day before Thanksgiving, Paul, my dad passed away. Mm. He was almost 98 years old.
Wow.
So he lived a very long and fulfilled life. He was a World War II veteran, so we lost another one of the greatest generation, and he was very proud that he had served in the Navy during World War II. But he was a believer, and he took us to church our whole life. He was steady. He was a church usher. He was the church treasurer. He was on the board, very involved. And I tell you, if you're going to pass and go into eternity, boy, watching the way he did that was absolutely a gift that he gave to our whole family. The good news was we were all gathered for Thanksgiving. This happened in Maine. My dad was living in Maine near my brother, and we were all there for his passing, and we all were able to be by his bedside. I started singing old hymns when he was kind of going in and out. And he is not a singer. He has a really bad voice. All the family is musical. We get that from my mom's side, apparently. And I used to joke and say, I play the radio. That was his musical ability.
He could carry a tune if he had a bucket.
He could not. But I started singing the old hymns over him. And he started joining in loudly and praising the Lord. And something I had never seen in my dad, when I was done with a whole list of the hymns I could think of and all the words I could remember, he started singing his own song to the Lord, and it was so beautiful. He was singing, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. And then he began to just break out. And my dad, you have to understand, my dad is this German, stoic, kind of brusque guy who you don't mess with. He's very stern. And he was so tender. And he was talking to the Lord. He was like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm joining my wife and my brother, his son, who was killed during the Vietnam conflict. He was smiling and he was communing with the Lord. We could see it. And at one point I stopped and I said, Dad, what are you seeing? And he goes, I don't know. It's all new to me.
My.
And then at one point, and this was just, you know, he had been wheelchair bound for the last few years because he had fallen and broken his hip and he hated being in the wheelchair. And at one point when we were, after we were singing and we were just sitting together, he started talking to me and he said, Linda, he goes, tie my shoes, make sure my right heel is getting in that shoe. I'm getting ready to walk. I'm going home. And I was like, oh my goodness. And he just, you know, and then at the very end, he called each one of my immediate family members to his bedside. And as clear as he could be, he blessed us with very specific instruction charges. And of course, I was his favorite. So I'm the only girl in the family. And, you know, he told me he loved me dearly and that, I was a good daughter. And it was just the most miraculous homecoming. And you know what he taught us, Paul, was there is a way to die well when you know the Lord, and the hope of the eternity that we're going to have, and the hope of a reunion again. And if you ever had any doubt whether heaven is real or there really is, you know, an eternal place we go, you could not doubt that. As I watched him sort of go in and out of that realm back with us and talking with us, it was actually just a gift. And I'm just so grateful that we were all there and we had that time together. So what an amazing testimony and witness.
Yeah. I'm just kind of okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Cause we live in a world right now that they're scared of death and there's stuff to be scared of. And yet, this was probably not only the most unscary thing, as hard, yes, scary, no.
Right. And I was so amazed because I wrote this. With a funeral is this Saturday in Michigan. And I was writing up what I wanted to say about my dad. And one of the things I wrote was that he was so peaceful. He never got agitated. He was never afraid. Several times in the day before he died, he said, I'm going to die. I'm dying, aren't I? And I said, yes, Dad, I'm afraid things are shutting down and you are at that stage. But he never got afraid. He never got agitated in the bed. We didn't even have to use morphine or anything. We did a little as his breathing became labored as he was going into an unconscious state. But he was smiling. He was happy. He was so excited to see Jesus. He was talking to Jesus. I looked at that and I thought, wow, this is, you know, there is no sting in this death. And at one point I whispered into his ear, I said, Dad, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he just smiled and he began to praise and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, it was just something to witness and to see that there was no fear and no worry, you know, in dying, because he knew exactly where he was going and what he would be doing.
I have a nephew who is now with the Lord. Matthew's his name. He contracted cancer, bone cancer, and it took his life. He was, if I remember right, 16 when he passed away. This was a few years ago now. And he was also very hopeful in the Lord. He was, I hear a lot of what you're saying echoing back. I mean, he was an amazing kid who just had so much potential. He was such a gifted kid. And yet cancer took him, but he did not despair. Yes, toward the end, the pain was horrid. But
yeah, cancer is really tough.
But he still, the hopefulness that he had in the midst of all that, and the family shared, I mean, they mourned the loss, but they rejoiced in God through the whole thing.
Yeah, and we're going to have a celebration. You know, it'd be sad to see my dad, you know, as he's, after he's passed. But we're going to rejoice. It's a celebration. We know where he's going. When we were singing, one of his songs he wanted is "What a Joy That Will Be When My Jesus I Will See." Mm. That was the songs he wanted sung at his funeral. And we're going to have somebody sing that. And we were those old hymns, you know, it was funny. At one point I looked at my brother and I said, man, I wonder what we'll be singing when we pass away, because they just don't seem to have the quality of the lyrics that these old hymns have, when you're facing that part of life, when you're dealing with eternity. Those old hymns have some incredible words of, you know, moving on and it is well and in the garden and mm-hmm. all the songs that we were singing, Victory in Jesus, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. It was funny because I hadn't sung those songs much since I was a kid in church, and I played the flute in the church orchestra, so I really didn't know all the words. But boy, they came back and he started loudly singing and he was helping me. He said at one point, I can't start them, but once you get going, I can certainly sing them. So we just had a great time praising God and having a worship service and celebrating the Lord. So I tell you what, if you're going to lose somebody, on this earth, this is the way. There's great hope. And anybody who's doubting, you know, sometimes in our culture, we wonder sometimes, is there really an afterlife? Is this all real? Is heaven real? Is there really a God? And I tell you, if you were in that room, there would have been no doubt of the realm that he was entering and what he was seeing. So it was just such a strengthening of my faith. And he gave me the courage that you can face death and you can be okay. So what a great witness and testimony of his life in dying.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Linda Mintel from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and when we come back, we'll talk some more. Actually, there was another article that I really want to talk about, too, because I think it really, you know, people get anxious when bad stuff like a family death happens, but anxiety can, well, come from different sources, too. We're going to talk about that shortly here on Faith Radio Morning. Stay with us. Nineteen after the hour, Faith Radio Mornings. Good morning. I'm Paul Perreault with Dr. Linda Mintel. Linda, thanks for your transparency on what's happened in your family, and just pray blessings on the funeral service in the coming days here. Just again, amazing. And you brought up the whole issue about the various songs, and I kind of have this standing thing, and I hopefully said this to my family enough times. There is a modern hymn that I do like a lot, In Christ Alone. Hopefully you know that one, but that's one of those that I want that at my funeral. So
yeah.
So
well, there's a lot of good ones. I'm not saying that there isn't, but I was just thinking through the lyrics of some of the more contemporary songs and thinking, well, they're a little bit pale.
Some are.
As well with my soul and some of those, Great is Thy Faithfulness, you know, some of those other hymns, but doesn't mean that they're not equally songs that you can engage in worship and you can praise with. So it's just a different generation. But there is some real comfort in the words of those songs, and especially when you know the history of how some of those songs mm-hmm. were written and the dire circumstances that people face, the trouble, the difficulty, the loss, the death, all the things that, you know, if you don't have a biblical perspective, and that does tie into anxiety.
Yes.
You were mentioning, Paul, because the opposite of trust in the Lord is doubt, and doubt breeds worry. And we have a tendency when we don't focus on the things of God to get into a little bit more of that anxious thinking, because we sometimes think it's all about us and what we have to do and making things happen. And it's hard for us as Americans. It's hard for my dad. He was a very independent man. He went through the Depression. He went through a war. He dealt with a lot of things in his life. It's very hard sometimes to not be so self-independent. And to really rest and trust in the Lord when you face difficult things. But that's really what God wants us to do. He right. wants us to calm down that anxious mind, and that scripture, to be anxious about nothing, is sometimes very tough for about 40 million people. We've got about 18% of the population that struggles with anxiety disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Yet about a third only get treatment. And yet we know that it's highly treatable if people get help. And there are a lot of ways that anxiety gets born. It can be from our thoughts and our assumptions and our beliefs sometimes that is the cause. It can be from life circumstances. Certainly, I was in practice for 30 years, and one of the things I always looked at when somebody had anxiety was, did they have a history of loss, especially unexpected loss? Because when something happens to you out of the clear blue, or something tragic happens to you, you have a tendency to feel out of control and very helpless. And if you don't work through those feelings, you can easily start to have anxious feelings because of the uncertainty, the loss of control, the helplessness feeling, the powerlessness feeling.
There's an importance of taking stuff like that right to God and saying, hey, do something. But instead of trying to hide it or trying to just internalizing it and not seeking his help and others' help, too. I mean, working with other people in your church, getting assistance to deal with these issues.
Well, and that's one of the reasons the Bible is so clear about renewing your mind every day, because it's very easy for those anxious thoughts to creep in. And I started having them about, you know, all the different details and things that I had to do. And then I thought, wait a minute, I just need to rest. The Lord is working things out. He's orchestrated everything so far. And one of the things, we just came out of a season of gratefulness. One of the things that is really helpful with anxiety is to constantly rehearse the benefits, the positive times where you've seen God move in your life, and to sort of renew yourself every day with, God hasn't forgotten me. He hasn't abandoned me. He's with me even in the difficult time. His promise is to always be with me, not necessarily take me out of every difficulty, but walk me through that. And then I think it's really important at times for people to recognize that there are physical things that happen that can cause anxiety. When we look at a lot of medical conditions, and you know I teach in a medical school, so mm-hmm. having to teach this to the student doctors all the time, but there's a lot of cardiovascular disease can prompt anxiety. So we need to think about that in some people's life. There's endocrine conditions that can also prompt gastrointestinal problems, sometimes neurocognitive disorders like Parkinson's and some of the other dementias can create anxiety. And anxiety can cause changes in the inflammatory response. And we know from a physical perspective that inflammation is not something good for the body. And so that's another reason why we need to really learn to calm down that anxiety, because it can cause a lot of problems with flare-ups of things like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and other inflammatory conditions. And then sometimes, you know, you have anxiety symptoms. You might think it's anxiety, but it could be something that's actually physical, like tachycardia or some kind of a symptom that might indicate that you have a problem. So very important to look at what is the root cause of that anxiety and make sure that you first and foremost rule out any medical cause for that happening.
Now, you can get into vicious cycles here, can't you? Because you may have the anxiety which feeds a physical condition, which then feeds the anxiety, and it just becomes a spiral. And breaking out of that, I mean, medication sometimes helps, and also does it just the cognitive aspect help?
It does. So it's really that aspect of taking thoughts captive. And in my book, Letting Go of Worry, I do a lot of very practical steps with this, where you grab a thought that's an anxious thought and you confine it. That's what taking a thought captive means. You confine that thought. You recognize it. You see it. You don't try to resist it. But then you say, what is more true? And the way that you replace an anxious thought is to, I think one of the best ways is to take scripture and to put in, you know, this might be a difficult time, but God's presence is with me. I feel helpless right now, but God is going to strengthen me. He's going to help me do all things. You know, so again, renewing the mind, because as you grab those anxious thoughts and you replace them with the truth of God's word, then your emotions calm down. And then you can think more clearly, then you behave in a different way, and you're breaking that cycle of those anxious thoughts just circling around. It's one thing to be concerned about issues and have a realistic perspective, but when you take that concern and it ramps up into anxiety, it's gone too far, and you really need to stop your thoughts from migrating into anxious waters and bring them back into a place where you can take those thoughts captive and release those to the Lord. And it's possible, because the scripture tells us to be anxious about nothing. And I don't believe God would give us a directive like that without giving us the prescription, which he does so beautiful in Philippians, where he talks about that and helps us understand how to take those thoughts captive, how to be thankful, how to focus on positives, and how to petition him when we're in trouble, and he will answer us.
I keep thinking of the Psalms, too, where the psalmist, I think it was David, was, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" Because he had a lot of stuff going against him. And yet what he does is recite to himself the promises and the goodness of God to help break that cycle.
Yeah, and he remembers, and you think about the children of Israel, it was so important for them to remember the good things of God when they were in all this uncertainty and wandering in the wilderness. This whole idea of remembering who God is, remembering those markers in our life where God has definitely moved, and remembering what his promises are, and standing on those promises of God when you feel like things are very out of control. So it's not that those out of control feelings are wrong, but you have to make sure that you're regulating those with more positive thoughts and taking those anxious thoughts captive.
Yeah, we're out of time. Blessings again, Dr. Linda, on the upcoming funeral and on you and your family during this time. But thanks for sharing with us this morning on Faith Radio Mornings.
All right. Thanks. Great. You guys have a great week.
You too. Breakpoint is next. Thanks again for listening to Faith Radio Mornings. 33 past the hour. This is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul Perreault. Well, one of the big things that is sold during the Christmas times is those smart speakers, those Alexa smart speakers. And people use them for a lot of things, except getting their news, it turns out. News consumption on smart speakers has not picked up, and Amazon is taking notice and trying to provide a little competition here with us. But they are trying to give Alexa a new voice, trained to detect patterns in the recordings of broadcaster's speech, which will make it more pleasant for consumers to listen to news being read aloud by the smart speakers. Competition. Well, I guess maybe I should learn to speak like Alexa. This is Faith Radio Mornings.
Ever had that awful moment when you bark out a command at your kids and you realize you sound just like your parents? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. No matter how much we vow to parent differently than our mom and dad, we tend to perpetuate their style. Things have changed since we were kids, and parents, we need to change with the times. You and I need to move from controlling to coaching without surrendering our core values. We need to meet our kids at their level and respect their individuality. Parents who dig in their heels and don't adjust tend to push their teens away. So shake off the negative habits of generational parenting. It's a new day. Shake up the family tree and adjust to meet the needs of your family.
There's more from Mark Gregston on the Parenting Today's Teens website. Go to parentingtodaysteens.org.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
Before the hour, this is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul, filling in for Peter Kapsner, who is still on vacation, but that means I get to talk to Dr. David Aikman, who is currently the editor for Godspeed Magazine in the past, to serve many functions, including editor of Time reporter for Time Magazine. And Dr. Aikman, a little while ago, I was talking about how Amazon, they're trying to train their Alexa smart speakers to try and deliver news in a broadcaster's speech. So they're having it go through learning that. And I'm kind of going, you know, I'd pay to have my smart speaker speaking like Dr. Aikman.
Well, good luck to them. I mean, whether you can have somebody who's trained as an announcer to mimic an intelligent commentator on international affairs, it's a big question.
Well, not saying that they can do it, but, you know, I'd pay for it if they could. So.
Okay.
Anyway, Dr. Aikman, boy, a lot of stuff, the world keeps spinning at a high rate when it comes to news. And over the weekend, there was a big altercation between Russia and the Ukraine. Can you kind of give us an update what's happened there and all that?
Yes, that's right. It's on a strip of water between the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov, which is a large inland lake bordered by Russia and the Ukraine. And this strip of water is supposedly international territory. And both Ukrainian and Russian ships are legally entitled to navigate it, but for some reason, the Russians decided to block the Ukrainian, a Ukrainian naval force, basically a tug or two or three tugboats, from entering that strip of water, and they violently collided with the tug to stop it, and then they sent Spetsnaz troops to invade the Ukrainian ships and to capture them. So I think six Ukrainians were injured, and that prompted Ukrainian President Poroshenko to ask the parliament if he could declare a state of emergency. So tensions are really quite high.
Now, the this goes back. I mean, these are territorial disputes and just bad blood between the Ukraine and Russia that go back. Can you give us a background on them?
Well, the background to the Ukrainian-Russian tension is a series of demonstrations that started out exactly 5 years ago in November 2013 to rid the country of its assumed or presumed to be corrupt president Yanukovych. And there were violent demonstrations in a big square in the center of Ukraine, the Maidan. And the issue really was whether the Ukraine, which was seriously in debt, owed a lot of money to the Russians, could join Europe with an agreement with the European Union, or would sort of fall into the Russian fold, because they owed money to the Russians, and the Russians said, sure, you belong to us, and we'll help you out. Let's go this route. But the wellspring of political opposition in the Ukraine at the time was that the Ukrainians wanted to join Europe because they thought Europe represented both a more democratic and a more prosperous future for themselves. And so that, of course, led to clashes in eastern Ukraine. The Russians unilaterally took over the Crimean Peninsula and annexed it basically for Russia. So there's been really bad blood between Russia and Ukraine ever since, because the Russians don't seem to be willing to submit this to international arbitration.
Okay, and then you got the issue that there are the people, especially in eastern Ukraine, who would love to be reconnected with Russia, and the West, well, not so much. But you think Russia trying to use this to spur another revolution, or at least try and take over more of the Ukraine?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, assuming the Ukrainian assertion about the incident is correct, that it was provoked by the Russians, I don't think the Ukrainians would have anything to gain by being in a more tense situation with Russia, because Russian soldiers actually were part of the eastern Ukrainian occupying force that took over whole chunks of eastern Ukraine, and even today are sort of claiming that these belong to Russia. So we'll have to see what happens, but I doubt whether the Ukrainians would have provoked something at this point.
I was thinking more of the Russians provoking, but yeah.
I think that sounds more plausible.
Yeah. How is the international community responding so far?
Well, I believe there's going to be a Security Council meeting in New York, which was asked for by the Ukrainians, and I think the Russians will be at that. One of the issues for the Russians is what attitude does NATO take? Because the Ukraine has not joined NATO, but was seriously considering joining. And that would have been one of the hot points in the displeasure that Russia has shown towards Ukraine. So we'll have to see what the Western powers, particularly NATO, takes towards this whole issue.
There's still a lot up in the air there. We need to take a break, but when we get back, we're going to talk Brexit because, again, over the weekend, a lot of big news about the Brexit issue in Europe. So stay with us. Dr. David Aikman, my guest. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Well, before the hour, Faith Radio Mornings, I'm Paul Perreault, in for Peter Kapsner, and Dr. David Aikman, my guest. And Dr. Aikman, you join us from across the pond in Bray, Ireland, and you're got this front row seat for this whole Brexit talk, and it looks like there may be some light at the end of the tunnel that happened over the weekend.
Well, yes. I mean, essentially, the UK and the EU agreed to terms for the so-called divorce settlement. That doesn't resolve what the trading relationship is going to be precisely between the UK and the EU, but it does determine certain issues, like, for example, the freedom of EU citizens to travel in and out of Britain and to live in the UK, and also British people who currently live in EU countries. But it's the issues that are not resolved that are really a serious thorn in the whole project.
So,
for
what
example, one of the
I was going to ask you that. What are some of those issues?
Well, for example, the Northern Ireland border with the Irish Republic. Ireland as a country remains part of the EU. And the Northern Irish, of course, belong to the UK, but they want all of the arrangements for Northern Ireland to be the same as what they would be for the rest of the UK. The only difference is that in between Northern Ireland and Ireland, there is absolutely no border, no discernible immigration point where you have to show documents or papers. And so traffic moves currently with complete freedom back and forth. This agreement was one of the things that resulted from the so-called Good Friday Agreement, ending the troubles up north between the Protestants and the Catholics, which was sort of basically brought into implementation in the 1990s by the United States. And there is a real fear that in the North, that if there were a resumption of the sort of hard border between the two jurisdictions, between Northern Ireland and Ireland, you could have a resumption of the terrible strife between the Protestants and the Catholics and the Republicans and so forth.
There's so much
for the last 30 years.
There's so much history that you have to deal with in this, isn't there?
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, we're dealing basically with a history that goes back about, well, the Irish as a whole would say that it goes back maybe 1,000 years to the first English sort of conquest of parts of Ireland, but the major trouble was initiated by the transplantation of Scottish Presbyterian Protestants onto the country of Ireland at the beginning of the 17th century, in the 1600s. And the reason the Northern Irish are Protestant is that they were all ethnically and religiously Protestant Scots who were maneuvered south. And one of the difficulties for Theresa May, she has to sell this agreement that she negotiated with the EU, that the EU has accepted as a valid terms for the so-called divorce. She's got to get that through the British Parliament. And the British Parliament has 10 members who are propping up Theresa May's government, who belong to the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party, and they are adamantly opposed to the agreement, as are at least 70 or 80 conservative members of the government party, the Conservatives. So Theresa May has embarked on a very brave effort to try to sell this to the British people, to get ordinary English citizens or British citizens, UK citizens, to contact their parliamentary members and say, support this agreement. We think it'll work.
Now, where's the Labour Party stand on this, or the opposite party, the opposing party?
Well, that's a very good question. The Labour Party has dithered and dathered, I mean, if that's the right term.
We'll take it.
Back and forth about this. They basically say they're going to vote against the agreement that Theresa May brought back. But a significant chunk of the Labour Party wants to implement a second referendum on the grounds that, well, people didn't know what they were voting for when they voted Leave or Remain in 2016, so let's do it all over again. The Conservative government in the UK under Theresa May has flatly rejected that, even though it's supported by the other party in the Parliament, the Liberal Party. So we'll just have to see if she is able to convince Conservative members of Parliament to support the agreement and to vote for it to get it through, because most British people are just fed up with this whole thing. It just seems to have gone on for so long with no result.
They're just kind of get it over with already, one way or the other. So we're talking to Dr. David Aikman. We have just about a minute left, Doctor, and I wanted to quickly brush on something that also came up over the news last week, and the death of a missionary, John Chow, in an area, part of India, the North Sentinelese Island, the Sentinelese Island people there, North Sentinel Island, I should say, and that has caused a lot of international furor.
Yeah, that's rather strange. I mean, it's been several decades since any American was killed by people shooting spears and throwing arrows at him, and that seems to have been the case of this fellow, Mr. John Chow. The question is, was he a missionary, or was he just, as he calls himself, an adventurer? We don't know what the motives were for his trying to get to this island that was actually prohibited for entry by any foreigner. It's a very murky situation.
Okay. And there is the India had laws about you don't go there. They try and let this reclusive people be by themselves, right?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it's they really try to protect the ethnic integrity and the cultural isolation from the rest of the world of these people. And I think the natives themselves were obviously very upset by the arrival of a stranger.
All right. Dr. David Aikman has been our guest this morning. Thank you, Dr. Aikman. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. We'll wrap up in a few moments. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Well, over the weekend during Thanksgiving, Justin Bieber thanked Jesus for helping him with life as a married man. Bieber posted on Instagram on Saturday, 2 days after he and his wife, Haley Baldwin's families, spent Thanksgiving together for the first time. Baldwin says, love is hard, but thank Jesus for showing him how to do it. Yeah, we need the help of God sometimes, but especially in our relationships. Well, thanks again for tuning in for Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul Perreault. I'll be hopefully here again tomorrow. Peter comes back on Thursday. So stay with us, and remember, you can always tune in to Faith Radio again online or Faith Radio Mornings, because we podcast the show. It'll be up at myfaithradio.com in about an hour or so. Thanks again for listening. Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.